God. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. But then that's all there. But if our hearts are not open and our minds aren't attentive, you know, it's not going to do much for us. But it is spirit, it's living, it's powerful. And I know, you know, it's changed. It's changed our lives. I was prompted just a little while ago and spoke to Suzanne about it, you know, about doing a Bible study on the fruit of the Spirit. But, you know, we only do Zoom Bible studies at the moment. We don't have to do Zoom Bible studies, but, you know, sometimes it's difficult to gather people together, you know, and bring truths in that way. And sometimes Zoom Bible studies can be fairly distracting. Anybody else say amen to that? Well, I just want to not a study, but I just want to look at the fruit of the Spirit this morning, just for a moment, and it may carry on next week and a little bit longer, because I think it's something which sometimes we forget about, and I just want to bring our attention to it, because it's something which is so powerful, something that, you know, the Christ in us, the Christ in you, the Christ in me, the same Jesus is in me as is in you. And if the same Jesus is in me as is in you, then the same Holy Spirit is in me as is in you. Is in you. There's a lot of is's, but it is who's. you hear what I'm saying? You know, sometimes we it feels like you have a different Holy Spirit than me. But we have the same Holy Spirit. Isn't that powerful? That as we're here in this house this morning, and the churches around our town gathering, and the churches across the world gathering, and people maybe in their home joining online or whatever, that the same Holy Spirit is operating. Isn't that powerful? And I don't believe the Holy Spirit in me conflicts with the Holy Spirit in you. If he's the same Holy Spirit. And that's so powerful. So I just want to bring a few thoughts this morning, and everything in the Word of God, everything of the Spirit of God is powerful. And everything is life-changing. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. Now, basically, a lot we've been singing this morning has been, we've been singing the gospel. You know, we sang, you know, how we about being free. Have you ever sung about being free, but you've not been free at all? Hello? You know, we can sing about being free. We know that in Christ we are free, and we've been free. We've been set free. We've got this liberty. But many times we don't live very free. Or we have parts of our life and parts of our minds and parts of the whole thought patterns that we have that don't seem to be very free. But we sing about being free, and we sing about the amazing grace that God has shown towards us, and that we live in. And Galatians chapter 5 talks about walking in freedom, and it talks about, you know, walking in the Spirit. And when we are people who walk in freedom and walk in the Spirit, we are not us, but the Christ in us is a power to be reckoned with. It is so powerful. You know, the times in your life when you've had experience of the things of the kingdom of God, and you've got free in something, it's changed you, hasn't it? You know, it's like until we get free, we're bound up, we're tied up, we're twisted up, where our mind is all over the place. You know, we have all these crazy thought patterns. You know, we're almost like we're twisted and out of shape. But when we get free, you sing that song, we probably still sing it, My Chains Fell Off. My heart was free. My heart was free. You know, we leapt out of that place. The chains fell off. We became totally free. And so Paul talks a lot about that in Galatians chapter 5. And you can't get away from the fact that when we talk about walking in the Spirit, that as a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and that the Holy Spirit that dwells in you is the same Holy Spirit that dwells in me. I just want to read a few scriptures from Galatians chapter 5 and just hit straight down to Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, where it starts off with a but. previous to that, Paul has been speaking about, you know, walking in the flesh and the lust of the flesh and the control that our flesh has on us. But then he starts off in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse through to verse 26, says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he brings that list of these, of this number of characteristics that corporately come together and are referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Who's nudging the person next to him? Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and with its desires. As if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited of provoking one another, envying one another. Now, that whole just little sentence there, those who are, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We could spend a long time just around that, because that really got me quite a few years ago when I started getting involved and I started getting a revelation of the things of the Holy Spirit. And getting around people who said they were full of the Holy Spirit and used a lot of jargon, used a lot of things and talking about the Holy Spirit a lot, but a lot of the actions in their lives didn't look like they were walking in it. People who said, well, you know, I had an experience of the Holy Spirit a long, long time ago, but how they were living their life now or then or the time when I was sort of becoming aware of these things. You know, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's act like we're living in the Spirit. And I believe the body of Christ needs to be a body of people who act like we're people who are spiritual. Actually walking out. The Bible talks about walking out our salvation, working out, walking through our life, you know, being a part of our everyday life that, you recognize people by their walk, don't you? Hello. Remember we were at a restaurant cafe type place a couple of years ago, and someone came up to me and looked at me and said, I thought that was you. I could tell by your walk. You remember that? And I hadn't seen this person for probably nearly 40 years. I recognized your walk. Man, I never realized I had a walk that looked like anything other than just walking. You know, I thought I walked like Charles, put one foot in front of the other. Let us also walk in the Spirit. We could stop right there, couldn't we? I'm not going to, but we could stop right there and talk about walking in the Spirit. Walking like we're born again of the Holy Spirit. Walking out our walk, that everything about us, that when we're evident to people in our world, they're looking at us and saying, I know you by your walk. I know the way you're walking out your life, there's something different about you. The characteristics of the way you're walking your life speaks of the kingdom of God. In many ways, the fruit of the Spirit is the walk, isn't it? It's the walk. So Paul is contrasting the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. He's looking at that different. The previous verses, it says, but if you, starting at verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law, nor the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. What else is there to add to it? No, it's pretty much covered everything, isn't it? And the like. Let's make this a bit bigger so it can help me out. Where did I get to? Such a long list. And the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past. Like, I haven't had to remind you of this. I've had to speak to you about this before. I've had to speak to you about this before. You know, I tell you, some of the stuff that goes on in life, you know, we need to be told many times over and over again. But why? Because we don't get it. You know, it's not until we get it, the lights come on. It's not until we actually get it that we actually change. It wasn't until, you know, Jesus' disciples and Peter at that time got a revelation of who Christ was that he was able to say, right now you got it. And on this rock I can do something. On this revelation, on this understanding which you've got. And many times there's things that are going on in our lives that, you know, the time we changed was the time when we got it. And it's like, and on that rock of us getting it, we're able to do something with our lives. We're able to start living from that place of that Christ being in us and it being demonstrated in the life that we live. So he says, I'm not going to read that so long, that list of stuff and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just like I've also told you in past time, that those who practice such things, of all these things and the like, anything else you can think of, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, sometimes we get so spiritual, don't we? Why? Because sometimes we get so spiritual because we know so much. And sometimes the more we know, the more we get messed up. Or the more we know, the more we realize we don't know. Remember, my dad always used to say to me, the more I read the Bible, and the more I get understanding of it, the more I realize I don't know. You know, when you first get saved, you know everything, don't you? But when you start getting into the Word of God, you think, man, is that actually, wow. And the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in past times. See, I'll tell you, there are some things we need continually reminding of. Now, Paul would go back time and time again, and you see what he's saying, the same things he said there. He said the same thing to this church, he said to that church. Well, you know, he had to keep reminding the people. Yeah, because this life we now live, this spiritual life we live, we're living in flesh. We're still the same fleshly people, but we're living it by faith in the Son of God. And so there are many things which we have to keep reminding of. The Apostle Paul had to keep reminding some of these people he was writing to. You know, they had an understanding, they had faith, they'd experienced the power of God in their lives, but we need to keep reminding, being reminding. You know, other things in your life you need to be reminded of. You know, I'm sure that, you know, as you get older, you realize there's more and more things you need to be reminded of. And not just because you lose your memory. It's because you choose to fill it with something else oftentimes. It's filled up with something else, and you don't allow anything new to come to gain access. And so Paul's just reminding them. You know, he's not like he's beating them up. Someone just need a reminder, don't you? Oh man, I never thought. Never thought like that. Just needed you to remind me. I'll tell you, we need to continually be reminded who we are in Christ. Not just having that thing, well, I know who I am in Christ. I've done a Freedom in Christ course. Well, that's so important because some people haven't got a clue who they are in Christ. Haven't got a clue. And that's not being unkind. It's just the reality. Because we live in a fallen world. I don't know how I got that. Where I got to there. Lost my thought for a moment. But, you know, when we're free in Christ, everything changes. But we don't always realize we need to be free. But you see, as we get born again, as we grow in our walk with God, we have to understand the Holy Spirit is working in our life. The Holy Spirit is working in our life. But are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life? When we're allowing the Holy Spirit, you know, are we tuned to that voice of the Holy Spirit? And sometimes we can be so full of voices coming in us and around us, and that we don't tune ourselves. We're not tuning ourselves to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's why when you've watched all the garbage you watch on TV at night, well, not garbage, just the useful educational documentaries and that we have this generally most nights we flip over the TV to, as long as we know what the weather's going to do tomorrow, okay. We're okay, and we flip over then and put another log on the fire and find something which is just going to remind us who we are in Christ. Help us tune into the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't dream, but if you dream, you know, they tell me, yeah, dream. I did dream last night, and it was weird. I'm not going to tell you what it was. No, it's pathetic. But it was, you know, if they tell you if you go to bed with the stuff in your mind, that's what you take to your pillow with. Just a thought. So we have to, you know, it's important that we're able to tune our ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's why when we pick out a Bible, we're able to say, you know, my mind's receptive and my heart's attentive, or whichever way around I say it, I can't remember. That we're attentive, we can be attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, we have to be able to hear his voice, and not only hear his voice, but respond to his prompting. And so getting back to the fruit of the Spirit, that Paul talks about here, it's not an optional thing. It's not optional. You can be a Christian, but you don't have to. It's not a necessity that you operate with the fruit of the Spirit. No, it's not optional. It's something which Paul is writing about to the church because it's important. He's writing to this local church community of Christians who are having a lot to do with each other, and they're living a life of belonging together and hanging out together. And he's recognized that, see, the fruit that comes off your life is not just for you. The fruit of the Spirit is, it manifests something of the Christ in you, but it's beneficial to all. So it's important that we demonstrate in our lives. See, if Paul says there should be fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in your life, there should be fruit of the Spirit in your life. You know, if you, just as an apple tree exists to produce fruit, it doesn't come as a surprise it produces apples, does it? It's not a surprise to you that an apple tree produces apples, because apples are the fruit of the tree. If the fruit of the Spirit is these lists of things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, if that is the fruit of the Spirit, which is the Spirit which is in you, it shouldn't be a surprise. There should be an expectancy for that fruit to fall or be on the tree. You know, we got apple trees in our garden, and, you know, they got blossom on them at the moment, and I'm not expecting anything other than apples to grow on them. It'd be a bit strange if something else happened, wouldn't it? Real, real strange. So as a Christian, someone who is full of the Spirit, someone who has the Spirit of God indwelling in me, you know, there should be the fruit of the Spirit, which is listed there, joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And don't forget self-control. Hello? You know, there should be an expectancy, and I wouldn't be, if it didn't produce that fruit, I wouldn't be a person of the Spirit, would I? Just as an apple tree wouldn't be an apple tree, wouldn't be an apple tree if it didn't have apples. If you flip it the other way around, go fruit, and take the fruit and go backwards, it wouldn't be an apple tree. See, a tree, the Bible says, is known by its fruits. See, where if you're a Christian, you're born again of the Holy Spirit. Hello? New creation, spiritual being, Holy Spirit indwelling in us. That is the fruit we should produce. The fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And self-control. So it's there. And see, because a tree is known by its fruit. You don't look at an apple and say, well, that apple must have come from a pear tree. No, it came from an apple tree. What is in you, what comes out of you is a result of what is in you. Hello? A tree is known by fruit. What comes out of your mouth is the fruit of your heart. See, our heart is the center of who we are, isn't it? So our responses and our talk is fruit. See, if anger and bitterness come out, it goes without saying we're angry. Oh, well, no, I'm not angry. what's just come out of your mouth? If peace and calm is what comes out of us, then what are we? Peaceful and calm. Sometimes we try and excuse, have some excuse for the fruit. Well, if an apple, a pear tree, an apple comes off the apple tree, well, how come that happened? Should be a pear. No, it's not a pear. It's an apple tree. What comes out is a result of what's inside. That's why it's so important that we are a people who build the Word of God into us. That we build it into us. So if anger comes out, bitterness comes out, you know, the garbage comes out, if bad talk comes out, if uncleanness comes out, it only comes out because that's what's in there. Yeah, the Bible says, from a man's youth, he's deceitful, above all else, and desperately wicked. Yeah, you know, we are born with a sin nature. But that got dealt with on a cross. It's at the back there, but it was here last weekend. Don't mean to say it has any less importance, just that it got in the way. Couldn't see. It got dealt with. And so what comes out of our mouth comes through a filter of what took place. Now, when children are young and they make a lot of noise and that, and you say to them, yeah, please put your indoor voice filter on. If peace comes out and calm comes out, you know, we know that's what's there, that's what's inside. Ephesians 2 says that He, Jesus, has prepared good works for us. Let's be sure that those good works are marked with good fruit. They're marked with good fruit. As long as we can get so spiritual and with gifts and the Spirit and things that go with those and opportunities to be heard and this sort of thing. But sometimes, you know, we neglect that there's fruit that should be hanging on our lives which should demonstrate who we are. Demonstrate who we are. And so those works, let's be sure that with those works that He's prepared beforehand for us to walk in are marked with good fruit. See, the fruit of the Spirit is not like our natural characteristics or our natural traits, that you can have one but maybe not have the other. Sometimes people, you know, someone who's angry will have some excuse for being angry. Well, okay, there may be an excuse for being angry, but deal with it. Because the Holy Spirit is powerful. Amen? The Holy Spirit is powerful. And sometimes we use characteristics of that's what, you know, well, that is, you know, something was passed down from a generation to a generation, and that is all very real, but deal with it. You know, many people have traumas take place in their lives, which you'd never want to experience, and you think of some things that some people go through. Yeah, terrible trauma. Well, he who is in us is greater than he who is in this world. The Christ in us is powerful. It's powerful. So these good works which he prepared beforehand for us to walk in, yeah, there should be good fruit marked by good fruit. And I say the fruit of the Spirit is not like our natural characteristics. Well, you still have one with you. I'll have a bit of joy. I'm a very joyful person, but I don't do the self-control bit. You can't have one without the other. The fruit of your life as a Christian is all of it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's the whole works. It's just characteristic of who we are in Christ, of the Christ in us, of the transformation that took place. Now, sometimes the transformation will take place, you know, positionally, but experientially, we don't work it through our mind. We don't make those adjustments. That's why Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by renewing your mind. Changing your mind, you're renewed on the inside, your mind, we still have a free choice. We still have a free choice, and our free choice will often, you know, through a natural understanding, interpret the Word of God in a way that is not spirit and is not life. So the fruit of the Spirit in your life is all of that. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no particular order or no particular prominence in them because they are a level playing field, if you like. So don't try and be these sort of be someone who says, well, I'll have some of that, but I won't have that. And we try and excuse not having the self-control for whatever reason. Or we excuse not having the long suffering. So there's no particular order or promise, but it's interesting, it does actually start with love. And Paul makes a big thing of love in 1 Corinthians, doesn't he? 1 and verse 13. In chapter 13, sorry. He calls it the greatest gift. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek his own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. I tell you, don't you ever need to be around people who rejoice in truth. Not just truth, not just necessarily the truth of the Word of God, but the truth. You know, the Bible says it's truth that sets you free, and it's talking about the truth of the Word of God. But truth, once you start telling a load of porkies, lies if you're not from Paul, once you start telling a little lie, you got to tell something else and tell something else and tell something else. But rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. But wherever there are prophecies, they will fail. Wherever there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. There's a lot of other things, those other things, they come and and they're not lasting in the sense that love is lasting. Some people love a great prophecy, don't they? But don't want to be, they miss out on some of the love stuff. See, I believe the fruit of the Spirit becomes a testimony to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. The fruit of the Spirit becomes a testimony of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And what comes out of you is a testimony of what is going on in you. It's what is going on in you. It's a testimony of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. See, we're living this life filled with the Holy Spirit. But we're living it, you know, in our flesh, with our own feelings, with our own emotions. And this life we live that has fruit, we live by faith. Because we can't produce it. We can't produce this fruit on our own. We can't produce it with our own strength. We live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to operate in faith. You know, for those things, that fruit of the Spirit to flow from our life, you know, I can't do all that on my own, in my own strength. We live it by faith. Of course, in the Son of God who gave himself for us. And it'll only produce as we live life, as we live out our life by faith. See, the fruit doesn't come the moment we get saved. Yes, the Holy Spirit indwells in us, but we have to cultivate that fruit. You know, if you, any fruit that you grow in your garden, any fruit that you buy from the supermarket or wherever, that has had to been cultivated. Yes, it was in the DNA of the plants. Does it ever amaze you how you can take a little seed, a small little seed, and sow it? And it'll grow. And from that little seed, it'll grow and it will produce a big tree or a bush or a plant or something, which then produces fruit. Isn't that amazing? Does it ever get you? How in the world can that happen? Isn't that amazing? I was watching a field of maize being sown this week. And this tractor and this massive paraphernalia that went with it was driving across the fields, turning over the ground, planting the seed, covering it with polythene, and carrying on these great lines of polythene just across the fields. And in a few months' time, you won't be able to walk through that thing because the maize will be up here. From one little seed that you get in your corn on the cob. The potential of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is phenomenal. Phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Because fruit starts with a seed. But it has to be cultivated. Doesn't just happen. Just because you are a wonderful person, but I'm talking about the other people. Just because that other person got saved doesn't mean they instantly become this wonderful, joyous, full of joy and faithfulness and self-control. I've come across a couple of Christians a long, long time ago, and you wouldn't know, they've never seen them around here. It must be from another nation somewhere. They didn't have any self-control. They didn't operate in a lot of love. doesn't just happen because we get saved. The Holy Spirit indwells in us and is indwelling in us and has to be cultivated. If you get saved and never purposefully connect into a local church, get involved, serve and commit, and you never grow in that new life which you have. And you'll experience very little spiritual fruits. And if you just stay on your own, there'll be fruit there, but it'll just hang on the tree until it drops. You know, the saying that an apple never falls far from the tree. Now just stay there. And have very little benefit outside of that. Just bless you, me, and us few, and the other things around there. But we have to set our mind to develop and cultivate spiritual fruits. So if we get saved, yet we refuse, or we intentionally or unintentionally, we intentionally never reset our mind. The spiritual fruit will never develop. It has to develop. I want to encourage you, church, to get a handle of developing spiritual fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, some of the works of the flesh can seem so overwhelming, you know, both in us and around us. But God is good enough and God is big enough to change everything with His Spirit in us and bring fruit of the Spirit. And I believe, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, because it is fruit of the Spirit, will always conquer the works of the flesh. Because greater is He than who is in us than he who is in this world. So the fruit of the Spirit can always conquer the works of the flesh. There's some characteristics of the fruit, which is so important, I believe, when we look at fruit of the Spirit. Fruit isn't achieved by working. It's achieved by abiding. It's achieved by hanging in there. You know, the fruit, the blossom on a tree, or the little tiny apples that first come on the tree, you know, if they just get knocked off, taken off, they're never going to produce. But if they abide in that tree and they stay connected, the nourishment that is there available to them and the source of strength which comes will come through the root, through the trunk, and then through the branches and through the end, and will nourish that fruit. You know, fruit is fragile. One of the greatest things about fruit is that it nourishes. Another important thing about fruit is that it reproduces. It reproduces itself. And of course, here, Paul, he uses the plural in describing the life after the flesh, works of the flesh, but he uses the singular fruit, not fruits of the Spirit. So in this big picture, the Spirit has one work to do in all of us. It's not the gift of the Spirit, but it is fruit of the Spirit, which is there for each and every one of us. For each and every one of us. And God wants that fruit to be demonstrated in your life. And He wants us to be a people who allow that to work, allow that to flourish, allow that to grow, allow that to be embracive, to make a difference in our lives. I want to encourage you to be those who really look at that and ask, is this working in my life? Is this evident in my life? What does the fruit of my life look like? And not to beat ourselves up, but to grow ourselves in the things of the kingdom of God. In these days, I tell you, the church, the world needs men and women who say they've got the Spirit of God in them and with them, who are in Christ and Christ in us, who is the hope of glory. But there's that demonstration. It's demonstrated through the fruit that falls from our lives. The fruit that is evident. And because it's spiritual, it's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. Joy, love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Father, I pray in the precious name of Jesus that which is in us, the Spirit of God, is demonstrated through the fruitfulness of our lives. That which the Apostle Paul identifies as being the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of that which is within us, the fruit of the Christ in us, the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in each and every one of us, is evident not just to us, but to those around us. Is evident to us and to those around. Is beneficial to those around. Nourishes, strengthens, equips, and empowers. In the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. That is the power of the Spirit working. The power of the Spirit working in fruitfulness in our lives. Yeah, maybe you may be here this morning and say, "Well, I don't sense peace in my life." The Holy Spirit wants to bring you peace. Can I have the band back up here, please, just for a moment? Well, you may say, "Well, I struggle with, because of what has taken place in my life, I struggle with love being a fruit evident in my life." Christ demonstrated his love toward you. And that's powerful. That's powerful. And he wants you to experience that. Now, you can be a Christian and feel like you're not loved. Just down on our feet as we close this morning. A band are going to lead us in worship, but I want to give you opportunity. Say, I'm gonna stir up the Holy Spirit in me. If you're here this morning, you say, I'm choosing this day to stir up the Holy Spirit in you, because when you If you were to look, take a stock of your life, you say, "Well, as you get older, you start looking at life and see, what does the fruit look like? To my neighbor, to my community, to my other family members. Am I recognized by my walk? Holy Spirit, if you're here this morning, just take a moment. I believe the Holy Spirit is here. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is here? I hope you do. The Holy Spirit is here. I want to give you an opportunity, just if you want to say it. I want to see that flowing in my life, out of my life, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you say this morning, I want to choose, I want to take this moment just to stir the Spirit in me. Sometimes we can get sort of out of things for a while and just, not even just a period of time, but just in life general, we can get out of things. We can have an area of our life, just get out of things a little bit. And we need, sometimes I believe we need to just take a moment to stir the Holy Spirit in us. Holy Spirit wants to be active in your life. I want to give you an opportunity just to come stand here in the front. Just stand here quietly, and I want to pray with you. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask anybody any question at all. I just want to pray with you. If you want to see the Holy Spirit stirred up in your life this morning, and there are some things we can do just staying where we're sat, and you don't have to come to the front of a building. And well, I believe there are times when we have to, it's good for us to take a step. Just to take a step, just take a physical step and say, okay, yeah, that's me. And in that is power. So as we just worship with this last song we're going to do here, if you say, I want to stir the Spirit in, I want to see, just stir up the Holy Spirit. I recognize the Spirit of God in my life, and I just want to stir it up this morning. If you like, agitate it. Sometimes you have to stir something to just activate it. To get a little bit of irritation, maybe. You okay with that? Just look at it. Look at me for a moment. Just look at me for a moment. Are you okay with that? Well, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Just come and stand here. We're going to pray with you. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit will be stirred in you. Let's worship Him. And don't be embarrassed. See, you make the choice, He'll make the change. Let me say it again. You make the choice, He will make the change. You make the choice, He'll make the change. Someone just takes a physical stepping out. demonstrating. You made the choice, he'll make the change. Let's worship him for a moment.